Welcome to Donor Audio Interview 4621.
Identify a person who had a significant influence on you and explain the influence.
I think it's safe to say that my father was a significant influence on my life. He was always hardworking. We were very poor when I was a kid, and he not only was able to raise 5 children with my mother, but in addition, he went from being poor to a successful businessman. Not the one that makes, you know, $5 million a year or anything, but enough that we could live semi-comfortably. So he was always very disciplined, and I learned a lot from him growing up in my life.
What do you aspire to be?
I aspire to be, first and foremost, just someone that people will find easily approachable in terms of who I am, in terms of my aspirations. In a career, I want to work in the health profession, either as a podiatrist or within some kind of health management team, maybe in a hospital or something like that. Haven't really pinned down the exact specifics, but something along those lines.
How would you describe yourself as a person?
I think it's safe to say that I'm pretty laid back. I don't try to be high in drama or anything. I just try and present facts as they are. I don't beat around the bush. I have a lot of people who come to me and have me help them out with their problems because they feel like I can help them out, that I can listen and not be judgmental. And so I suppose that's the most accurate answer I can give at this time.
What makes you smile?
Just about everything. even the hard times, I look back on some of the really difficult times of my life and I laugh and smile about that too. Just the things that go unexpected, the things that are funny, the things that are, I don't know, my kid makes me laugh a lot. She's really funny too. But I find everything, if put in the right context, it can be funny.
What type of things make you happy?
Oh, happy. probably my family right now. Especially my kid. She's in a really cute stage of her life right now. And everything she does just makes me smile. And it's just really fun to run around and just see what she does that is really silly. Whether it's trying to learn how to jump, which she can't really do, or like learning how to throw things, and then she throws something at the rabbit and like hurts it. That's not very funny, I know, but I think it's just funny.
What type of things make you sad?
Oh, sad things. Probably really, really like self-righteous individuals or people who only see the world in one way, like that being their way. People who are unrelenting or just they're not very flexible as an individual. They won't, for example, they'd rather have everything, you know, explode around them or just disintegrate in their own life, whether it's their work or their personal life, than be incorrect. They'd rather just, it's my way or the highway kind of feeling. Those kinds of things just make me go crazy, drive me nuts. So,
describe the world you come from and how that world has shaped who you are.
Oh, the world I come from. I grew up in the South, and that had a lot to do with who I am. I grew up in a very small town of about 2,000 people, so everyone knew each other, really. So, I mean, never really locked our doors, didn't really worry about people stealing your car. I think it just led me to be a trusting person by nature. Sometimes that's got me in a little bit of trouble, but for the most part, it's helped me to be just open and trusting and just take things in stride. Over my life, I've lived in several large cities in the U.S. and it's always been a really big difference. It's hard for me to get used to living in big cities after coming from a small place, but I just roll with it, and I think it's shaped me to just really appreciate nature and just appreciate individuals, because I think that you lose a lot of appreciation for individuals in the big city. So.
Does any specific attribute, quality, or skill distinguish you from everyone else? How did you develop this attribute?
I think that my skill would be to have many skills, kind of like a jack of all trades. I don't know if that makes sense, but it does to me, because I can do a little bit of everything. I mean, I know a little bit of music, a little bit of computers, a little bit of medicine right now, hopefully more later, a little bit of basically any task, whether it goes from camping to cross-stitching. I don't know, I can do a little bit of everything, I feel. So I guess that's a skill, not like a major skill in one area, but I just, anything I try and do, I typically do well, except for art. I'm terrible at drawing, and anything related to art, I'm terrible.
What do you think are the most admirable qualities a person can have, and why?
Admirable qualities, I would say that it would be just enthusiasm. I might not sound very enthusiastic right now, but I think that enthusiastic individuals, honest individuals, and those who are ethical as well are the people that I kind of gravitate towards, because if you encompass all those things, then I think that you're destined to get stuff done in life, as long as you know, stick to who you are and don't let yourself get compromised.
What qualities do you like best in yourself, and what do you like least?
Let's start with what I like least. I think I like least the most, probably, and I'm probably not alone here, I don't like to deal with heavier issues or topics or subjects, or even like in my studies, for example. I like to do the easier things first. It's kind of a form of procrastination, I suppose. You know you have to do it, but you want to, you know, work around it until you get to it. I think that's the thing I like about myself the least. They tend to take the path of least resistance more often than I should. And then one thing I do like about myself, I think I can make good choices. I've made good choices my whole life, and I have almost no regrets about my life in general, because I've made good choices, and I think that's what I like best.
What kind of values did your parents instill in you that you would like to pass on to your own children?
Just the fact of being disciplined and you know, doing what you're going to say. My mother was really good at teaching me about consequences and you know, making choices, being disciplined. And you know, if you're not disciplined, you're going to live with the consequences. And that's really what I want to instill with my kids, that they understand that when I make this action, when I do this action, or if I don't do this action, there's going to be consequences. If I throw this at my brother or sister, then I'm going to go to my room. You know, I don't even have to tell you. I can just like point to the room and you know what to do, kind of thing. But I hope that, and when, of course, when they're older, that they'll understand that there is a cause and effect. There are consequences to things you do. So.
Tell me how you like to spend time with your family.
Oh, family time's always great. Right now it's kind of hard because we only have one little kid with another on the way, but but we just like to go out on walks, go to the park, just anything that adds a family, as a whole family. Just anything where we get to go outside and or go around and show our little girl more of the world, I think is something we really, really enjoy doing.
Tell me about the most cherished present you ever received for your birthday or holiday, and tell me why this gift was so special.
There are quite a few presents. But I think that my favorite one of all time was Lego Mindstorms. It was like this little Lego set, and you had like this computerized block, and what you could do is you could hook it up and you could make it do things. You could turn it into a car, into a crane, but you had to build it yourself. It didn't really explain it very well. It was just kind of like do your own thing, and you could look stuff online back in the day, which was a lot more primitive online, but it still worked. You know, you could look things up, and that was, I can't even count the hours I played with that thing, and it helped me to learn a lot of skills that helped me later on, like, you know, just being analytical and how you look at coding, because that's when I started actually learning computer programming a little bit, and you had to like tell a thing what to do. You had to like drag and drop these commands, like move forward X amount of seconds, stop, turn, move, and it helped me to kind of think more analytically, and that was a lot of fun. And at the time, my parents were really, really poor, and so I didn't think, and I wanted the Lego Mindstorms really, really bad. And then Christmas morning, I went out, looked under the tree, and I opened up the present from, quote, Santa Claus, and lo and behold, there's Lego Mindstorms, and I think I nearly exploded with happiness. But that was a great toy, and I'll always remember playing with that thing.
Tell me about some activities you enjoyed in your childhood.
Oh my gosh, my childhood was always full of mischief. Oh man, I remember when I was a kid, really young, and my favorite thing to do out in like the berry season was to grab my friend, and we'd go out and we'd pick every single berry in the whole neighborhood. We had lots of blackberry bushes and raspberry bushes all around the place, and our goal was to get as many as we could. And those were, I was always outside. I don't ever remember being inside growing up. And then I had another friend, oh my gosh, we made a club. It was called the Wasp Killing Club. Oh my gosh, I don't think any kids had any more fun than we did. We ran around, and because I mean, where we're from, it's like 1,000 wasps everywhere, like hornets, wasps everywhere. And so we just run around the whole neighborhood and just like solicit people to let us kill their wasps. We'd be like, we'll do it for free too. And they're like, no, because you know, in the good old US of A, it's kind of a liability, you know, kids like follow them around your porch trying to kill wasps. So in the end, we would usually just chase after all the ones around his house. And oh my gosh, he had quite a few around his house. He had the big house. Oh, it was a lot of fun. So those are just two of many, many crazy things. But I was always outside. I was, until I was probably about my teenage years, I don't really remember spending a lot of time inside with my friends. So.
What is your favorite book? What types of books do you enjoy? And do you have a favorite literary character?
Favorite literary character? Probably not so much. I really like some authors. I primarily read lots of sci-fi. I love to read. I read a whole lot growing up. If I wasn't inside growing up, I was probably reading a book. That's probably the only time I was inside. But the my favorite author right now would be Brandon Sanderson. He's a sci-fi writer. He's really good. He's really, really good. My favorite classical authors, I really like Jane Austen, Charles Dickens. They're really, really good. Great Expectations is one of my favorite books too, along with a sci-fi book called Mistborn. That's a really good book too. But I like the old classics and sci-fi, mainly, mostly sci-fi. Those what you'll find me reading. But there's so many good aspects from books. Books are just, I need to read more. I don't have the time right now, but every time I think about reading a book, I'm like, oh, it sounds like such a good thing, but too bad I have to go study. But yeah, that's basically it.
What is your favorite word and why?
Oh, my favorite word? Sleep. Why? Because it's what I get the least out of these days.
What was the last movie you saw? Did you like it?
The last movie I saw was The Life of Pi, and it was actually really good. I was pleasantly surprised, and it was kind of like one of those movies where you don't feel like, you know, I've never had any inclination to do things like, you know, smoke marijuana or pot or, you know, that kind of stuff, and I've never done it my whole life, but man, I felt like I was on something watching that movie. It was pretty trippy, but it was good though, and it had a tiger in it, and it's rated PG, so we let my kid watch it, and she was flipping out, and she still talks about tigers right now. But it was a good movie. It a good family film, and pretty exciting and pretty imaginative and pretty trippy too. So it was great.
What type of sports do you like to watch?
You know, I like to watch, my favorite sports to watch would be soccer and tennis, and anything else I don't particularly watch, unless it's like a like, you know, like the big games, like maybe the finals of the NBA or, you know, the World Series or maybe the Super Bowl, but any other sport, I don't really care to watch that much. But tennis being my favorite, and then soccer would be the next right underneath that, and I can watch tennis all day, though. I love it.
What do you do for fun? What are your hobbies?
I think hobbies before I started medical school would be fair, because right now I don't really do much except study. But before, assuming I have lots of free time, it would be I played a lot of tennis. I like to just fiddle around with electronics, like coding. I like to read. I like to play video games. I like to go outside and do all kinds of crazy things. Still, I haven't really grown up in that regard, I guess. But I like spending time with my family, of course, especially with my little girl. She goes outside with me, and I get to show her all kinds of fun stuff and try and make sure she doesn't get stung by a bee or anything. So it's those are the kind of things I would spend all day doing if I wasn't, you know, at work or at school. I'd just be doing those things just over and over again. I probably wouldn't get too tired of it.
Are you a creative person? If so, how do you express your creativity?
And I'm not creative in the sense of artistic abilities or anything like that. When I was growing up, I always wanted to maybe write books or something like that. But I'm not really that skilled in terms of my English, so I never really pursued that. But I've always enjoyed storytelling. That's probably one of my more favorite things. But other than that, don't really have much creativity, unfortunately.
Has anyone ever told you you resemble a particular celebrity?
Not really. I just get told I look like my brothers, and that's about it.
Evaluate a significant experience, achievement, risk you have taken, or ethical dilemma you have faced, and its impact on you.
Well, that's a very loaded question. This community is taking that process. Ethical decision. You know, I think that in some form or fashion we all face those. I don't think I've had to make too many significant ethical decisions. One that comes to mind is, or I guess a situation at work is just whenever I used to deliver pizzas in the big city, and there was this one driver that would drive everyone crazy. He was a punk. He would always take the bigger order so he'd get bigger tips when he'd deliver pizzas and things like that. And finally one day, and he was kind of like the most senior guy there, and he was friends with the owner, and there were all these politics involved, and it was just like, and everyone just said all this crap behind his back and wouldn't do anything about it. So finally I walked up to him and I was like, dude, stop doing this crap. We all know you do it. You know you do it. Just stop it, okay? No one wants you to do it, and we're just sick and tired of it. And so, you know what, and if you don't stop, we're gonna, you know, make you stop. I don't know how, but we're going to. And that kind of solved the problem. It was just, I don't know. I guess no one else was just wanted to say it because they just didn't want to get the owner angry at them or something. But I guess when push came to shove, I just went up to him and just told him off, and it solved the problem. So I guess it's one of the more ethical situations dilemmas I've had where I've actually had something jeopardized because, you know, if he could have gotten angry and told the owner he didn't like me, and he could have maybe given me less hours, and then I would have had to find a new job, but nothing ever came of it, so.
Choose a prominent person, living, deceased, or fictional, whom you would like to interview and explain why.
Oh, man. Who would I like to interview? Probably, you know, I would really want to interview maybe one of the founding fathers, like someone around that time era, like Benjamin Franklin, John Adams, Thomas Jefferson. I've always thought they were really interesting. I'm not a big history buff or anything, don't get me wrong, but I've always been curious because I won't say I'm very political either, but I'm really interested in seeing, I would want to hear from them in their own words, kind of what they envisioned America to be and being able to sit down with them and kind of tell them what America is now and just see their reaction and see what they say. I would be very interested in something like that.
Recall an occasion when you took a risk that you now know was the right thing to do.
Well, I'm kind of living it right now, I suppose. We took a risk, my wife and I took a risk to buy a house that paid off. Took a risk to come to where we're living now, and that paid off in terms of my schooling. Took a risk whenever we have our first kid, we didn't know, you know, if we could really be able to take care of her very well if we were in a financial situation, and that paid off because we're super happy right now. And so we've taken some risks, moderate risks, not huge ones, but it's all paid off. We haven't known how it would pan out, but it's all panned out really great. So we are very, very happy.
Is there a work of art, piece of music, scientific phenomenon, or mathematical theory, or work of literature that has surprised or unsettled or challenged you, and in what way?
I would have to say a lot of music's been influential, not in a huge way, but one of the things that I really like, I really, really like the Northern Lights Aurora Borealis. I think that is just really pretty. And in 9 out of 10 times, my desktop on my computer is always going to have a picture of Aurora Borealis on it. So I love the Northern Lights. They're just really, they're really pretty, and I've always thought that phenomenon was amazing.
Have you experienced a moment of epiphany, as if your eyes were open to something you were previously blind to? Describe this moment and your impressions about it.
I've had a lot of epiphanies in my life. One of them was when I found out I was stupid, and it's happened in different ways, and not stupid in a bad way. I mean, like inconsiderate or like not sensitive to others, or just immature. Most of them happened, of course, before, you know, I was 20 years old, naturally. I think the most memorable one, when I started growing up, is I can't remember the exact situation, the exact time or age, but I know I was really young, and my brothers, I did something and I got in trouble, and I got grounded from doing anything. I couldn't go outside, which is really sad for me. I couldn't play any video games. I couldn't watch any TV. I couldn't read any books. I mean, I was grounded from everything I liked to do. And my parents felt bad for me because I really wanted to. My brothers had rented this video game to play with their friends. It was like some little SNES game. And they rented it, and they were playing it, and it looked like it was a whole lot of fun. And my parents took mercy on me, and they said, okay, fine, you can play a little bit. And I was like, woohoo, you know. And so I played this game for probably about half an hour to an hour, something like that. And they cut me, and then they said, all right, you're done, you know, stop. And I remember throwing this huge, huge fit because I just wanted to keep playing. And then I went to my room because I was being a bad kid. And then while I was in there crying my head off, because I was a spoiled little brat, I guess, some little thing came into my head, and I'll never forget it, because I just remember thinking, I should be grateful that I even got to escape my sentencing for even an hour, you know? I was grounded for the weekend, more or less, because I was being a bad kid, and I disobeyed my parents. And I should be grateful that they even let me have any leniency in my sentence at all. And that thought, that was really interesting, because I don't know how many kids have that thought at that age, but I remember thinking, you know, I should be grateful instead of just, you know, miserable little brat about this whole situation. And that was really, really, that was the very first epiphany I remember as a kid, and it stuck with me since, and I think it has had actually a really big impact on who I am. So instead of being demanding, I've been thinking, well, instead of, you know, throwing a fit or getting upset, you know, I should be grateful for what I do have, and that's really affected me growing up.
Of everything in the world, what would you like to be doing right now?
Everything in the world? Oh, I would want to travel around the world with my family. Oh my gosh, I want to go to the South Island of New Zealand. I really want to go there really bad. I'll go there one day. I want to go on a cruise, go visit the Bahamas. I'll do that eventually. I don't know if I'll get to South Island, New Zealand, but maybe we'll see. But just travel the world. I love traveling and meeting new people and cultures. I love different cultures. I love meeting different people from all walks of life, especially just people who are just really laid back and not judgmental and really easy to party with and stuff. And that'd just be fantastic. I would love that.
Where would you like to be the most?
Well, of course I want to be with my family back where I come from, my family that I have now, be on vacations, visit other family. I'm pretty happy wherever I'm at as long as there's family around or as long as it's the place I want to be.
Who would you prefer to be with at this moment?
Probably with my kid, my wife maybe, but most of my kid. Not that I don't like my wife, but I mean it's 'cause the reason why that is 'cause my wife's pregnant again, so when I take my kid then she can relax and I can go play with her and it works out great, so that's why I say that. So it's actually more beneficial to my wife if I just take the kid and go outside and go play with her than it is to take her with me, 'cause then she 'cause she has back pain from the pregnancy, she just can't walk that much. So I do a much bigger favor by taking the kid. So that's the reasoning behind that. I'm not being a jerk.
What is your approach to life?
Just keep going, be steady, have some fun, have some laughs, but don't take it too seriously, I guess.
What is your favorite dinner?
My favorite dinner would have to be chicken and dumplings made by my mother. It's so good. It's just amazing. Chicken fricassee and dumplings. You can't go wrong with it. You can tell I'm from the South. It just tastes so good. So good. And then like when you go into like the food coma afterwards, you can like feel the dumplings like expanding in your stomach and then you feel even more full and sick, if you ate too much. It's just the perfect end to any day, good or bad.
What is something you wish you could do but you can't?
I've always wanted to be able to draw. I know we've talked about this a few times, but I've always wished I could actually have artistic ability, but I don't. And that's not something you can buy, barter, beg, or steal, unfortunately. So I'm stuck with my stick figure drawing, so that's all there is to it.
What are your plans upon graduation?
I guess I want to work in the hospital, but I'll probably just have my own practice that works and is joint with a hospital.
If you could take a snapshot of your life 10 years from now, what would you be doing?
I'd be getting more sleep. I would have more kids. I'd be actually getting an income. In school for another 6, or I'm in school for another 3 years, or training for another 6 years, school for another 3 years. So I'll be making money. I'll have more kids. I'll get more sleep. Life will be really good then. Right now it's really hard, but this. Good parts about life now as well, just not as many as there will be 10 years from now.
What is the nicest thing you could do for your significant other?
Nicest thing I could do for my wife would probably be to give her, right now would be give her a lower back massage. She really needs one of those, and watch the kids for her, let her just sleep, because she's always sleepy because she's pregnant and she has back pain all the time. And basically just help her out. Oh, and cook her food. She loves it when I cook her food. Or give her money to go get a pedicure or something like that. Those are the nice things to do. So it's not that hard actually to do something nice for her, which is nice. So, if I ever want to butter her up a little bit, I know exactly how to do it.
Why did you decide to participate in this donor program?
Well, I'm sure there's various reasons, and one reason is that my wife and I did have issues with having our first child, not with our second, which has kind of caused a little bit of panic, but not too much. But the first child, we tried for a year, it just wasn't working, and we actually had to get some fertility assistance in that regard. But it all worked out, and we had our first kid, and the second kid just kind of rolled along unexpectedly. But so that's one reason. I know that it really sucks whenever you have can't have any kids when you want them, and that's a real bummer. And the other reason is, of course, there's a financial side to it. Of course, I get reimbursed a bit, and so it helps to keep my student loans nice and, well, not nice and low, but lower, so that way I don't have to pay so much interest back whenever I finish medical school.
Is there a message you would like to add for recipients or offspring listening to this interview?
I think I've said about everything I need to say or that they could want to say, so I would just mention that life is good, even if it's really hard, even if it doesn't go the way you want it to. You know, sometimes you have to do a little bit of soul searching, but you know, it's if you, as long as you can be optimistic and understand that, you know, life really is a good thing, and whoever you give life to, it's a good thing, then I think that everything will, I think that you can put everything in perspective and prioritize everything accordingly, and it'll turn out good.
This concludes Donor Audio Interview 4621.